You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. That piece of music links us to the story of the fire this week at Notre Dame Cathedral, the fire that drew the attention and reaction from people all over the world. One of the important questions in the fire was, did the cathedral's organ, and that's the music that you're hearing, did the organ survive the fire? Kevin Doherty, Cap Radio's classical morning host, has that answer and more in this week's Sound Advice, a very timely Sound Advice. Mm-hmm. Hi, Kevin.
For
glad
sure.
to have
hey,
you
Beth.
Here.
Hey, Beth. Thanks for having
so
me.
So what do you know about this organ?
Well, first of all, I know that the organ did, in fact, survive the fire. It didn't fall victim to the fire, nor did it fall victim to any sort of water damage after the fact. So that's good news. I have read somewhere that there may be some reconstruction needed because of debris and soot and smoke and things like that. But overall, the organ survived, and this is an iconic organ. It's an historic organ.
There's a story reported by NBC News that one of the five organists, Johann Vexo, did you see the story?
Mm-hmm, I sure did.
Was actually playing at the time. He said everybody was really surprised because this was the first time we had ever heard the alarm go off in the cathedral, he said, so we didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Then he said the people at the back of the cathedral, where the roof would later collapse, started to evacuate through the front. Mm. The mass disbanded because there had been a mass going on. And he said he headed to the sacristy, where he looked at the alarm system, still not really believing the cathedral could be on fire. And he said, quote, I was just thinking it was a mistake or a test. I never thought it was a true fire. And then he went home. His Paris home is near the church. And he said only later a colleague telephoned him as they started to see these images all over. And that's when Johann Vexo really believed and knew the cathedral was, in fact, on fire.
Gosh, what a surreal moment that absolutely must have been.
So that makes people like you start asking questions. Well, when was the last recording? When was the most recent piece of music played? And that kind of sent you on a little rabbit hole of research.
I did go down a little bit of a rabbit hole with this one. And Johann Vexo is one of the organists at Notre Dame, and so is Olivier Latry. And Olivier Latry, a French organist, has been there for about 33 years as one of their residents. And he is the one who recorded the last album, or the most recent album, let's say that, to be recorded on that organ at Notre Dame. And it's a Johann Sebastian Bach album, appropriately enough, called Bach to the Future. I had a day with autocorrect on that one. but truly, this organ is absolutely magnificent, built in the 1730s. You know, there had been an organ in that spot in Notre Dame since the 1400s. Mm-hmm. But this organ has been there since the 1730s and has been reconstructed and built up. Right now, it has close to 8,000 pipes. Or something like that. And I'm no organ connoisseur, but I think it was Johann Vexo said, he said, I think the great organ of Notre Dame is one of the only instruments that you can really recognize as soon as you hear it. And I think that people who are organ music lovers in a big way would probably agree with that, because it really is one of the most iconic instruments. And I'm excited to be able to play a little music from that organ right now. But just a little background on this. Again, it's Bach to the Future. And Latry has been an organist at Notre Dame since 85. And yeah, this is him playing Johann Sebastian Bach's Fantasia in G minor, or just simply enough, organ piece, pièce d'orgue. And let's take a listen to some of this. Let's listen to those 8,000 pipes.
Thank you.
That, again, is the most recent piece of music recorded on the organ in the Notre Dame Cathedral, the great organ. And it was just recorded a couple months ago, just released, in fact. Mm-hmm. And now, after the images of the fire and the reaction all over the world to what's happened in that building, the music might sound different to you as you listen to it. The images in your mind might be different than they would have been otherwise.
Yeah, I would have to imagine. Olivier Latry, the organist on that recording, recorded that over a three-day span in January. I mean, it was just a few months ago, and it was released in March, so it is. I mean, this is fresh from those pipes. Johann Sebastian Bach wrote that piece of music probably in the 1720s. Mm-hmm. So if you think this organ was built in around 1730 or in the 1730s, you imagine Bach's music has gotten a few spins on that organ as well, so...
Yeah, you just think about that massive organ, like you said, 8,000 pipes and the two keyboards and all the pedals and the work that goes into being able to master it and the sound. I think that has been a remarkable way to begin this week's Sound Advice.
Yeah, good.
But that is only the beginning. Let's move on to something and a name you might know, Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman, right? You know, if you've heard the name Danny Elfman, maybe you think of him as a film composer. He's been a frequent collaborator of Tim Burton. He wrote the Simpsons theme. And if you dig a little bit deeper, some may remember him from his days as the frontman of the quirk rock group Oingo Boingo. But believe it or not, about 15 years ago, Elfman decided to try his luck as a composer for the concert hall. He's been doing pretty well, but hence his most recent work, a violin concerto called 11:11. He wrote this expressly for the violinist that you're going to hear on the recording. Her name is Sandy Cameron. And for Elfman, like any great film composer, his music is, it's driven by narrative. And even though there is technically no story to be had, he creates this sonic fantasy world for the listener, which is really fun. And this piece is about 40 minutes long. It's hard to really capture a singular moment because Elfman kind of does everything in this piece of music, cinematic, neo-romantic, modern, like composers like Shostakovich or Stravinsky, and of course, Elfman's own quirky sensibilities.
Right.
So I have a clip from the fourth movement that kind of brings all of these things together. It's really, it's lyrical, it's beautiful, it's intense, it builds really well. And we get to hear just a glimpse of Sandy Cameron's virtuosity in this. She is a tour de force throughout this 40-minute piece. But let's take a listen to this clip from the fourth movement.
Thank you.
Yeah.
1111 is spelled out, by the way, that violin concerto by Danny Elfman. I actually want to see the movie that sounds like. It matches something big and oceanic and
sure.
And ships.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and again, I mean, because he is a movie composer, because he writes for film, I mean, mm-hmm. he can create a mood. He can give you a visual. You be the judge, whatever it is that you mm-hmm. want. But I like I said, but, you know, so he like I said, he goes in a lot of different directions, too, in this piece. And so there are so many sounds to choose from. And you really just kind of need to sit down and listen to the entire mm-hmm. thing. It's incredible.
Really beautiful. That's Kevin Dougherty, Cap Radio's classical morning host, sharing this week's sound advice with us. Let's continue.
All right. Well, this next piece was written in 1976. It's from Polish composer Henryk Gorecki. And it really became something almost a pop icon in the late 80s and early 90s. It caught a little bit of steam, if you will, and broke through in the pop and art worlds, which is unheard of, and especially for a brand new orchestral work in the middle to late 20th century, that they weren't doing those kinds of things. But it's his Symphony No. 3 for Sorrowful Songs. There was a 1992 recording that brought it to fame from Dawn Upshaw was on that recording, and she's a wonderful classical singer that does a lot of new music. But the singer on this specific album, this new release from the Polish National Radio Symphony Orchestra, is Beth Gibbons. She's not a classically trained singer, nor does she know Polish, which is Gorecki's native language and the language that is the text for the songs in this symphony. And learning a new language, it's in the job description of a classical singer, but not for somebody who is the lead singer of an alt-rock melancholic electronica band from the UK. Mm-hmm. She's the lead singer of a group called Portishead.
Wow.
And while she doesn't bring the vocal strength or the agility necessarily of somebody like a Dawn Upshaw, she really offers this overwhelming sadness and sincere vulnerability to this piece. And let's just take a listen. The rendition is haunting and beautiful and a refreshing interpretation of a piece that's become rather famous. Mother, do not weep. Most chaste queen of heaven, help me always. Hail Mary. That was an inscription from an 18-year-old girl imprisoned in a Gestapo cell in 1944. Mm-hmm. A Polish girl singing to her mother earthly and spiritually. Very, very sad. The Symphony of Sorrowful Songs. Mm-hmm. And again, Beth Gibbons really, really captures that haunting sadness.
You can find more online about each of the recordings that Kevin is highlighting. We have time for one more, and We're going to go to a bit of Beethoven.
Let's do some Beethoven, absolutely. And this is a fun piece, too. Well, I was introduced to the Boston-based chamber ensemble of Far Cry last year when they recorded an album with pianist Simona Dinnerstein. It was Philip Glass's third piano concerto. So I started to follow them a bit, and I stumbled across this recording from 2014. So it's not necessarily new, but it is new to me, and it will appear on KXPR from time to time. But they've recorded a stunning arrangement of the third and longest movement of Beethoven's String Quartet No. 15, one of his late string quartets. It's called Holy Song of Thanksgiving, or in German, Heiliger Dankesang. And I really, what I kind of like about this piece is almost how modern it sounds, like that holy minimalism from the 80s that we just heard. Yeah. That's like this opening chorale from Beethoven. And then it goes into this sort of joyful section that's like a almost something out of Lord of the Rings. So let's take a listen to a clip I have. And Beethoven was just getting over an illness when he wrote this. So this transition is from this chorale into this sort of reawakened feeling of strength that maybe he had. And the sun has risen again, and it's another new day. Again, that's from Beethoven's String Quartet No. 15, the third movement, the Heiliger Dankesang, and that was arranged for chamber orchestra there, Boston-based, A Far Cry performing.
Thank you for the many different backdrops for our day.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you,
Kevin.
Beth.
That is this week's Sound Advice with Kevin Daugherty. You can hear him mornings on Cap Radio's music station. And that's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Our producers are Cody Drabble, Bert Johnson, and Kate Gonzalez. We had help from our senior producer, Helen Barrington. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Our engineer today, Anthony Van Hook. And Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. Thanks for joining us.